seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I again direct you to Mark's Gospel, chapter 5, and the 19th verse. The Gospel according to Mark, chapter 5, and verse 19. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, Go home to thy friends, and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee. The Gospel according to Mark chapter 5, and verse 19, Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, Go home to thy friends, and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee. We'll remember this morning where you looked how wonderfully the Lord worked in Legion, the Mad Gadarene, and brought him from the tombs to sit at the feet of Jesus. And here as Jesus seeks to leave the land and go by ship, this dear man wanted to continue to sit at his feet. And those of us that I trust have known a little what it is to sit at the feet of Jesus will know how he felt. He wanted to continue there, and so were you, and so will I, the rest of our days. But you see, we cannot live there. One reason is because the flesh cannot stand it. You see, no flesh will glory in his presence. And we're poor, weak worms of the earth. You will remember that when the Apostle Paul was caught up into the third heavens and saw things not lawful to be uttered, the dear man couldn't live there. The flesh will not stand it. You see, we're poor, weak creatures of the earth. And so as Jesus seeks to depart, he says, and we read that they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. And when he was come into the ship, that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. And then the words of our text, Howbeit Jesus suffered him not. It was not the Saviour's will that the dear man should go with him. He was to give him a very clear command. And the words are very beautiful, really. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, Go home to thy friend. You know, you really would be amazed to think that such a man had friends. But you know, the Lord had provided him, still in this land, with some sweet friends. And it was to these he was to go home to. What did Jesus say? And let us lay it to heart. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. You know, that's a wonderful word, and may we each lay it to heart this afternoon. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. And all to be among the friends of the Saviour. Did he not say, friend, come up higher? And oh, there have been those, of course, that word has been spoken to and concerning them being taken from this earth. They were to be taken to be with their heavenly friend forever. We read in the book of Proverbs, don't you? He that hath friends must show himself friendly. But there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And this dear man, you see, was to go home to these friends that love the Saviour, love to hear his voice, love to hear what he has done for his dear people. Have you got those friends to go home to? You think of it this afternoon. I remember your late beloved pastor preaching at Mardin Chapel Special Services from this dear man's case. And at the time I was so exercised concerning following the Lord in his sacred commandments and ordinances. And he said, and it's one thing I've never forgot, that if you've sat a little at the feet of Jesus, you've got something to go home and tell your friends concerning what it was to be there. As we noticed this morning, a very humble spot where the sinner is melted by the goodness of God and his love and mercy. So he says to this dear man, go home to thy friends. But then he hadn't just got to go home to them and be silent, had he? It's one thing to go home and be silent, and let me just tarry a moment there. There are many times when we do have to go home and be silent. Because it may be, and he'd known it, such distress in our souls because of our sin, because of our unbelief, such darkness because of the hidings of the Lord's face, such sorrow because the Lord seems so far from us. And we go home and we cannot speak to men, but we can speak to the Lord. You can tell him everything, can't you? That's a wonderful thing, you know. The Lord understands the sighs divine, those secret groans, those inward longings when you can't say a word to men, or even to your friends. Yeah, you're silent and you creep aside by yourself. You're like the sheep when it's got the fly and it plagued with maggots. And what does it do? It goes away from all the rest, and no sheep can help it but only the shepherd. And that's how often the Lord's dear people are. But there are times where they can go home to their friends, and they, as Jesus commanded him, and tell them. And what had he got to tell them? How great things the Lord hath done unto thee. Well, first of all, it's personal, you see, unto thee personally. And you know, as I, this feeling kept being with me all this week of what have we got to tell? Well, let us look first at the case of this dear man and then come home to us each. This dear man had got something to tell, hadn't he? It's a solemn thing, you know, if we got nothing to tell, and may we lay that to heart this afternoon. The hymn writer had, didn't he, when he said, "Well, with his saints I join to tell, my Jesus hath done all things well." Have you got anything to tell? You really lay it to heart this afternoon, and me too. Well, this dear man had, hadn't he? The first thing he could tell was what a solemn state he'd been in. Satan trying to destroy him. Oh, the depths that he was brought into. And he got to the point where his life, we may say, wasn't worth living. He was at the ends of the earth. And if he'd been left, would have destroyed himself. But mercy was this: the Lord wonderfully kept him. But he'd been right in the depths, you see. And no man could help him. And not only this, he was bound. You know, many of us know so much about bondage, don't we? Oh, look at the contrast here. The dear man on one side, Satan out to destroy him, and then the Lord wonderfully delivers him so he's set free. And then look at it too, of the bondage that he was in. And no man could deliver him from it. And the turmoil of mind. And yet look at the other side, when the Lord Jesus spoke to him deliverance, he brought him right out of it all. You know, since this text came, the case of the dear blind man has so rested upon me. You know, some of you may say, well, I can't lay claim to much, but I hope I got one or two things I could tell. Now think of the blind man. There he was, blind. He couldn't see anything. And the Lord Jesus gave him sight. And what was he enabled to say when they questioned him concerning it? He says, "One thing I know." He didn't say, "I think," or "perhaps it's so." "One thing I know, whereas I was blind, but now I see." There was no doubt about it. And he got something to tell them, didn't he? You think in that wonderful sentence, "One thing I know, whereas I was blind, now I see." And you know, you're a happy soul and you got something to tell if you can say that. You were blind to God's ways. You were blind to the truth. You were blind to your sin. You were blind to your unbelief. But now you see what a wretched sinner you are, and you see a preciousness and suitability in the dear Lord Jesus. Oh, you do. And that dear man did. He could see, you see, the dear Redeemer, whereas he hadn't seen him before. And what a mercy it is when the Lord gives us that eye of faith. He takes away all the unbelief and he gives us the eye of faith so we can view the Saviour. One thing I know. Oh, have you got anything that you know this afternoon? This dear man. And he could go home to those friends and he could tell them, couldn't he? But then, look at where he'd been, dwelling among the tombs, among the dead, as we looked at this morning. But then look at the difference when the Lord brought him to the feet of the dear Redeemer. So he could sit at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. He got something to tell them. And look at the contrast. Instead of being so hard and cold and rebellious, now he's brought humbly and tenderly to sit at the Jesus' feet. Go home to thy friends. The command was clear. Go home to thy friends and tell them. You know, it's a wonderful thing to be able to tell our friends, and it won't be said in a boastful way, in any way, to come from a very tender, honest heart. How great things, and they are great things. You think of where he was brought from and where he was brought to. It was a great thing in the experience of this dear man, and it was in those that looked on. How great things the Lord, it's all his work, you see. Therefore, he must have all the glory. The Lord hath done great things for thee. For thee. It's personal, you see. And I'll tell you what the effect of it, these great things will have upon you. It'll really melt you and you'll really say, Lord, why me? Why me? Why such a wretch as I, who must forever lie in hell, were not salvation free? What the Lord has done. And then, what the effect did this have upon the dear man? The point is this. He was obedient to what the Lord said. Oh, he was. We read, don't we, in Paul's letter to one of the churches, be ye as obedient children. That is to do whatever the Lord tells us. You know, some wonderful words in Holy Writ concerning this, isn't it? We think of what the Mother of Christ said to the servants at the marriage in Cana of Galilee. Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And in doing what she commanded them, and it was the Lord's message to them, there was profit in it. The water was made into wine. And they'd never tasted such wine before, had they? Now the dear man was obedient, and we read this, and he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men marvelled. They stood amazed at the wonders God alone could do. You may have wondered why we read together that sacred chapter in the book of Judges this afternoon. You may have thought, well, what is the connection? Well, in trying to pray the Lord would give us what to read, the case of dear Manoah and his wife seemed to drop in very sweetly. Particularly that verse where we read, and Manoah and his wife looked on while the angel of the Lord worked wondrously. They just looked on. Now you think of the case of this dear man, the wondrous work of the Lord here. And you know, it's been with me so much this week, the wonders God alone can do. We hope to sing it at the close of the service. The wonders God alone can do. And I want us help to look a few of these wonders and all to be able to tell them. You know, to tell our children, our grandchildren, the wonders that he has done for us. This dear man, we don't know whether he had a wife, we don't know whether he had any family, but there's one thing we do know, he had to publish it throughout Decapolis. These great things the Lord had done, they were wondrous things, you see, and what the Lord does are wondrous things, the wonders God alone can do. We think of the case of the dear man that was a cripple in the Acts of the Apostles, when Peter and John, they went into the temple at the hour of prayer, about the ninth hour, and a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they lay daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, ask alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." Oh, you look how wondrously the Lord was to work for this dear man that had been a cripple from the mother's womb. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength, and he, leaping up, stood and walked, and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which sat at alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them into the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. Oh, the wonders God alone can do, you see. Just as with Legion, how the Lord worked wondrously for him, we find the Lord worked wondrously in the case of that dear man, just as he did for Manoah and his wife. And may we see in these dark and solemn days the Lord work wondrously. But let's bring it right home to us each here. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, and saith unto him, Go home to thy friends, and tell what great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee. Those of you that feel so much the sin of your heart, and that are weighed down so often by sin, it's a great trouble to the real child of God. I know what you'll say, but we feel so often we're not troubled about it as we should be. And we aren't, are we? But is our prayer like the hymn writer? Convince us of our sin, then lead to Jesus' precious blood. You know, that'll be your prayer. And when the Lord favours you with a sweet taste of his forgiving love, or may speak to you a word of pardon and peace, can you not look back and be able to say of the wonder that there was, that he should have mercy on you, that he should pardon sin, that he should give you the peace of Calvary? You've got something to tell, haven't you? We think of a dear man many years ago when he came before the church. He said, you know, I've not got much to say. But he said, there are two things really. One is, what a wretched, vile sinner I am, needing the Lord's mercy. And the other is, the mercy that he's granted to me, and the preciousness of Jesus to my soul. You see, unto you therefore, Peter said, which believe, he is precious. He is precious. You think of the publican. Oh, the sin there was felt within him. The guilt, the wretchedness, the vileness. But you look how the Lord gave him mercy. How he had to plead for it. And you look at the mercy the Lord gave him. So he went down to his house justified rather than the other. He got something to tell, hadn't he? Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee. For thee. It's personal, you see. And then, have you not got those sweet answers to your prayers? And you not look back and say, well, there's this time where the Lord answered my prayer. There's that time the Lord answered my prayer. And he's given me my request. Oh, he has. And you can speak of those answers, can't you? Which he's given. Well, you can speak of both sides, like the dear man had here. Let's be very clear in it. There's two sides to real religion. There's a great need in the sinner, but there's a fullness in the dear Redeemer. And that needy sinner can draw from the fullness that there is in a precious Jesus. Oh, think about what we sing in the hymn. A fullness resides in Jesus, our head, and ever abides to answer our need. You look at this case. The fullness that there was in Christ, a fullness that could deliver this dear man from the grip, the power and final grips of Satan. He could deliver him from it all. What are we saying? I delivered thee when bound, and when wounded healed thy wounds. And you look right the way through the Word of God, the wonders God alone can do. You think of the wonders of redeeming grace. Well, let us, as we come to this sacred season of the year, just look at one or two things. Firstly, look at the wonders of the glorious birth of the dear Saviour. How he was born in Bethlehem. And the wonders of it. And then think of the wonders that he performed in his life, those years he was here, those just over 30 years, the many deliverances. You know, the disciples, even the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they looked on in amazement at the wonders God alone can do. The healing of the sick, the restoring of the sight of the blind. And look at the wonders that he wrought at the grave of Lazarus. Those of you that know what it is to feel dead and cold so often, like Lazarus in the grave, you look how the Lord brought him forth out of that grave. Lazarus had got something to speak of, so had Martha and Mary, hadn't they? Of the wonders God alone could do. There was Lazarus dead in the grave, been dead 4 days, and by this time Martha said, he sinketh. No man could raise him, but the Saviour did. Oh, the wonders. And this is what's set forth in this wonderful case of Legion. The wonders God alone can do. And you look how when he came forth bound hand and foot, and his mouth bound about with a napkin, what did Jesus say? Loose him and let him go. You know, other than those times in your life where the Lord has loosed you from bondage, from sin, from unbelief, from the grip of Satan, from your own deceitful heart, and he set you free. What do we read? If the Son shall make you free, then are ye free indeed. And as the hymn writer on that sacred theme, the way to liberty is found. The Son shall make you free. Go home to thy friends. Tell them how free you are. And don't forget this, you'll feel free to speak to them because it's to the glory of God. He will have the preeminence in all this. You see, this dear man, it was no use him speaking of what he had done or any man for him. It was all what the Saviour had done. And therefore he must have the glory. Let him that glorieth glory in the Lord. So he says to Lazarus, those beautiful words, loose him and let him go. To those around dear Lazarus, and loosed him. The Lord loosed him and let him go. Freed him from it all. And look at this dear man. What did the Lord do? Well, really, the Lord loosed him and let him go. Oh, he did. And he had to go and to publish in Decapolis these great things which the Lord had done for him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, and saith unto him, Go home to thy friends, and tell how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and had compassion on them. Oh, the compassionate Saviour was so manifested to this dear man, how compassionate he was. He didn't leave him to go on in the grip of Satan, did he? And among those tombs, the Lord had compassion on him. What a mercy we have, a great high priest that is a compassionate Saviour. Now, there's one or two things I want to look at further. One is this compassion. You look how compassionate the Saviour was to that great multitude when they were hungry. And we read, don't we? But Jesus had compassion upon them. The disciples wanted to send them away. But Jesus had compassion on them. And you look how, with those 5 loaves and 2 fishes, he provided everything they needed. There was everything to supply their need. And they took up that which was the fragments of that remained, was it not 12 baskets? Oh, think of how compassionate the Saviour was. But then as we come to this sacred season of the year, we think of his sufferings, his agony. Let me ask you this question. Have we any interest in them? You think of it weighed up in your poor heart and mine. Have we any interest in those sufferings and agonies? Because if we're the Lord's dear children, we will have a sacred interest in them. There's our hope. There's our salvation. He suffered, bled and died to redeem his dear bride from all her sin and from eternal damnation. He bore all incarnate God could bear with strength enough and none to spare. Oh, that we might be led by faith to Calvary, to view the dear Redeemer suffering, bleeding, dying. We've been singing of it. And you know, they're great things. This is the point. Great things. This dear man could speak of great things. Can we speak of great things concerning him suffering, bleeding, dying for us? He bore all incarnate God could bear with strength enough and none to spare. But then you think of the great things he spoke at Calvary. Those great words, "It is finished." Salvation's work was done. He put away all the sins of his dear people. They were all to be washed in his precious blood. Oh, what great things. And then, as they lay the dear Redeemer in the tomb, and the great stone rolled upon it, those dear women, it was a great thing to them how the stone was going to be rolled away so they could anoint his precious body with the ointments and spices they had prepared. And what do we read in this blessed gospel? They said among themselves, "Who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre?" They couldn't roll it away. No man could, but the Saviour was to roll it away. Oh, he was. To roll it away. And as he rose, that stone was rolled away. They saw great things. And then think of dear Mary Magdalene. Oh, as they looked, those dear women, they saw the stone rolled away. He had risen. And then, in the garden, a risen Saviour, how he speaks to dear Mary. There she was weeping, as the one here weeping. And then you look back today, those times where you've been weeping, and the Saviour has drew near, and he's wiped away all your tears. You've got something to tell him. There's some beautiful promises to the weepers throughout Zion, aren't there? They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth bearing precious seed shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. And you look at dear Mary, how he spoke to her. "Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou?" And all her soul wanted was Christ. And he says to her, "Mary." Oh, the great things that he did for that dear woman. But you see, she was like Legion. And this is the point I want to leave you with this afternoon. She was just like him. She wanted to embrace him, to stay with him, to hold him and not let him go like the spouse. But what did he say to her? "Go and tell my disciples that I am risen." And they were to go and tell them in Galilee that Christ had risen. There would they see him. And you know what a blessed time that was for them, wasn't it? So she was like this dear man. She was to go home to her friends and tell how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. And look at how the Lord made him willing. And he departed and published in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men marvelled. they got something to marvel over. May we have those things to tell. Like I quoted earlier, well, with his saints I'll join to tell, my Jesus hath done all things well.